The following is an at-will presentation.
Angels and gods and aliens, please help me. I pray for myself and pray for my family and friends and lovers and strangers and enemies. Shine light down on them and me so I can properly see me. I pray in the name of love, just be, not this, not that, beyond definition, me.
These are the lyrics to the song Everyone Is Gay by the musical duo A Great Big World. Chad King and Ian Axel. If you're gay, then you're gay. Don't pretend that you're straight. You can be who you are any day of the week. You are unlike the others. So strong and unique. We're all with you. If you're straight, well, that's great. You can help procreate and make gay little babies for the whole human race. Make a world we can live in. Where the one who you loves, not an issue. Because we're all somewhere in the middle. We're all just looking for love to change the world. What if the world stops spinning tomorrow? We can't keep running away from who we are. If you're gay, then you're gay. And if you're straight, well, that's great. If you fall in between, that's the best way to be. You've got so many options. Every fish in the sea wants to kiss you. We're all somewhere in the middle. We're all just looking for love to change the world. And what if the world stops spinning tomorrow? We can't keep running away from who we are. We're all here in it together. We're one step closer to breaking down the walls. Everyone is gay.
Explosive shockwaves can cause situations such as body displacement, emotional breakthroughs, relatable flashbacks, and love.
This is a conversation with a human I love named Chad. Is that black tourmaline around your neck?
It is black tourmaline.
What's going on with that tourmaline?
Over the last few months, I started to get super into crystals and rocks and... Mm-hmm. I went to this rock store with a friend and picked up tourmaline, and I was like, what is this, and why is it making me feel so good?
Yeah.
And I looked it up, and yeah.
Yeah, so I
want to have it.
I'm a big crystal head, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like just got into crystals pretty recently, too. I went to Peru and did ayahuasca over Christmas.
That's awesome.
It was
the
most incredible experience I've ever had in my entire life.
Whoa.
Like... They say it's like 10 years of therapy in 1 week.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was.
Well, that's what shrooms were for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure.
Shrooms were like 5 years.
Yeah. Shrooms five, ayahuasca 10. When did you eat mushrooms?
Like last year.
This is last year. Yeah. So this is like your first psychedelic of sorts?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started experimenting with mushrooms in high school, and then for like a few months in college, I was like eating them every day.
No,
like,
you were not.
Like microdosing.
No, you were not.
Yeah. And really shaped the rest of my early 20s.
Whoa.
From that.
Yeah. Whoa.
My favorite way to do mushrooms, then we can start talking about other things.
Yeah.
But my favorite way to do mushrooms is by myself in my apartment.
No way.
Yes. Like, I highly, highly recommend it.
That scares
me. It's super ego-centered, I feel like, mushrooms. And when you're with other people, you're, like, focusing on... I don't know. For me, a lot, like, I think about, like, what I'm saying to other people or how my words are sounding or how their words are sounding to me. When I'm by myself, I don't have to, like, feel responsible for anybody else, you
totally.
Know?
Totally. Have you ever done mushrooms with drunk people in the room too?
Oh, yes.
That is hard.
Yes.
That is very difficult.
It's another world.
Yeah.
Chad King.
Yeah.
Chad King. Where did this King come from? Because that is not your real last name.
That's not my real last name.
Last name is?
Vaccarino.
Just that is a real Irish name for you guys.
Yeah.
Vaccarino. Yeah.
My mom actually named me after Chad Everett.
Okay.
The actor.
Yeah.
And I was getting, over the last, like, I don't know, few years, People were just screwing up Vaccarino so frequently.
Right.
It was like, it was getting so annoying to me. Uh-huh. And I was reading On the Road by Jack Kerouac. Mm-hmm. And there's a character named Chad King in there. And I saw it and I was like, that's so perfect.
Oh,
it's so
that.
Easy. It's so strong. It's so yeah, I was like, why not? Like, what's gonna happen?
Right.
I was like, let me do it. And so I did it, and then it was weird at first, but then it was like, that's my thing. It's
yeah.
fine. It's totally fine.
No, I love it. I mean, did you go to the court system and do the whole thing?
Nah, no. it's not like a legal thing.
It's not a legal change.
No.
People fuck up my last name all the time, Tortorella.
Yeah.
Like Tortorelli, Tortellini. I mean, people just like immediately start throwing out pasta names, and I'm kind of okay with it, but I understand the struggle.
Totally.
So you are Italian.
I'm Italian, fully Italian.
Full-blooded.
Yes.
As am I.
Unless, I haven't done Ancestry.com, is that what it is? I haven't done the
Ancestry.com. Yeah. I did it, actually.
I gotta do that. Gotta do it.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, but are you from like a big Italian family?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Yeah. We're all, I mean, they all live in Florida now.
They grew up in Florida.
Yeah, they grew up in New York, though.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, like South Florida, that's where I grew up, very small town called Port Charlotte.
Yeah. Was like a bunch of your family down there, or was it just your immediate family?
Yeah,
that
I
was
mean,
down there?
Everyone, like once like one of my aunts went down to Florida, like everyone followed.
Yeah.
So like all my entire family and extended family is down in Florida right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were you like as a little kid?
I would say between the age of like 5 and 10, I was very effeminate. Mm. I was in dance school. I was singing. I was doing the child acting thing. Mm-hmm. If I was an outsider, I'd be like, oh, that kid's going to grow up and he's going to be gay. That's sort of me. But I was like this big personality. I was like, I want to be a star.
I love that.
And then, you know, then bullying started and everything changed.
Right. Well, what changed when bullying started?
Oh, well, that's I didn't want to be bullied, and I didn't want to be called gay, and I didn't actually think I was gay until I started being bullied for it.
Hmm. It's interesting how that fucking happens.
It really is. And so once the bullying started, I was like, well, I'm not gay. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why they're making fun of me right now. I guess it's because I'm dancing. Maybe it's because I'm acting. Maybe it's the way I'm acting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the way I do my hair. Maybe it's the way I write.
It's because I look good. What is happening?
Right.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So I changed it. I changed it all. And I was like, I want to be one of the street guys. I want to be like a jock.
And so is that what happened?
That's what happened.
You just like hid the queer...
Yeah, I got rid of all my girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
Made very straight friends. Made sure that I didn't look at guys. I looked at girls. I made sure that I was always looking at their boobs. I was always talking about girls. Uh-huh. I was like really, I needed to be persuasive about this thing.
Right. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Like full passing straight dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It worked.
Did you have girlfriends and such too?
Yeah. 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 I had girlfriends. I mean, which is weird too, because like before I was teased, I you know, was doing things with girls. But then, as I started getting teased, I was like, screw it. I have a girlfriend. Look. Yeah, I don't know. In high school, I fell in love, actually, with a girl.
Hmm. Tell me about her.
Her name's MJ.
Okay.
She was 2 years older than me. We were in band together. I played trumpet. She played clarinet.
What does that mean, to fall in love for the first time?
That's a good question.
Like?
Yeah. I mean, it felt like when we made out for the first time in her car, and the windows were, like, all fogged up. Like, both of us... said to have seen like fireworks and felt like this energy and chemistry that you know, we never felt before. And it was things like that. It was like someone you were best friends with. I was best friends with her. And looking back, it's like we totally talked about being married to each other, but I always had this thing in the back of my head that was like, you're not being honest, Chad. You're not being honest with yourself. You're not being honest with her. And, that prevented me from being, like, super physical. Like, I would be physical with her, but I wouldn't, yeah.
Right, but you were still emotionally available to her.
I was totally emotionally with her, yeah. It got to a point where I was gonna move to Orlando.
Mm.
So I was like, we can't continue this. And she's like, okay, well, maybe we can do a long-distance thing. I'm going to go to school in Tampa. And I was like, yeah, we could try it. And, you know, we tried it for a few months, and MJ, I'm sorry if you're listening. I think she might have cheated on me during that time. I can't remember. MJ, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But something happened where she came to visit me, and she was like, I can't do this long-distance thing. She's like, let's just have sex now. I'm a virgin. I want you to take my virginity.
Oh, wow.
And, like, she brought me to a hotel room.
What hotel?
Probably like a Holiday Inn.
Yes.
I don't know. She brought me to a hotel room in Orlando. She's like, I booked the room. It's fine. And I was like, okay. And so we get to the hotel room.
Oh, man, are you just so nervous?
Oh, my God. I'm so nervous.
For you right
now. I'm so nervous. I get to the hotel room, and I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. I'm going to do this. Okay. And she, you know, she gets me on the bed, and we start making out. And I was like, MJ, I can't do this. She's like, what do you mean you can't do this? I was like, I just can't do this. She's like, you're gay. Are you gay? That's what it is. I think you're gay. And I was like, no, I'm not gay. And then we left, and I felt so heartbroken. And then that's sort of how we broke up after that, because I didn't take her virginity, and it just wasn't. I would have loved to. I would have loved to do that, but I just wasn't in the headspace.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So when did you come into your own? I guess when did you first... I mean, how do you identify today? Let's start with that.
Right. Today I like guys more than girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that answer a lot.
Yeah.
And when did that, like, switch happen growing up? Like, publicly?
Right. I think around the time me and MJ broke up, so, like, 17, mm-hmm. I was like... I think I'm gay. I think there's something going on here, and because I actually really believe that, I decided to move my entire family to Orlando, Florida, which is 2.5 hours away from Port Charlotte. Because I was like, there's no way, if all the shit is going on in my head right now, I can't have this exposed. I can't have people know this. So I literally convinced my entire family to move to Orlando because I was like, I want to be an actor again. I want to do this voiceover thing. Let me prove it to everyone. And everyone was like super supportive. And
amazing.
They were like, okay, let's do it. And I would clean the house every single time there'd be someone coming over to look at the house. I'd be like on the floor, my hands and knees, like scrubbing the grout of the tile. And like, we all moved to Orlando.
Did you have siblings?
I have an older sister, an older brother, and a younger brother.
And everybody was just like, yep, Orlando's the spot.
Yeah.
Follow Chad, we're going.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. I also come from a very big Italian family. And like my own queerness has not always been accepted, right? It's always been like, I've always been very cautious with my family about how I talk about it. Have you had similar experiences?
I don't want to.
If you don't want to talk about any of this, you don't have to, too.
There have been certain family members. How about I do this?
Right.
There have been certain family members that have been like, I don't think you're gay. I think you're just confused.
Huh.
I think you need some time. And you'll come into your own. You'll understand that you're not gay.
Right.
And there have been family members that have been like, you know, whatever you want to do, super supportive and been fine with it. Mm-hmm. There's been no one that's like, I don't agree with what you're doing. I have a family member that's super religious that for sure questioned my choices. And I painted my nails recently just for fun. I was watching Drag Race.
Nice.
And a family member saw it and was like freaking out and like, why would he do that? What does this mean? Does he want to be a woman? Does it blah, blah, blah. And it's like that made me want to go even further. So I went wig shopping after that.
Yes,
and I was like, I was like, screw it. I was like, look, if they can't handle it, let me expose them even more to it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Who's your favorite drag queen?
Alyssa Edwards.
Yes.
I mean, I literally just saw a Drag Race for the first time.
Alyssa is literally one of my favorite people in the entire world. She's exactly like that in person too.
That's awesome.
She's incredible.
That's awesome.
What's your relationship like with your mom?
She's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Has she totally accepted your lifestyle?
I think recently she has.
Recently. How old are you?
31.
31, okay.
But I also think recently I have.
Yeah.
Like, it took me, like, I in 2007, I came out, but it took me probably till, like, a few months ago to really feel like I'm out. Like, I own myself, I am myself, I am who I am, and so that's almost a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I attribute that to also being diagnosed with MS at the same time I came out.
Wow, that was at the same time?
Same exact time, 2 weeks later.
Wait, which one happened first?
I came out, 2 weeks later, my legs started buckling, and then a couple weeks after that, I was diagnosed.
Oh, wow, quite the month for you right there.
Yeah, and that sort of changed everything for me, because I at first was like, great, I'm free, this is amazing, and let me explore this thing. And then all of a sudden I was like,
fuck.
Yeah. And so that sort of took, you know, precedence.
For anybody that doesn't know what MS is, will you give us like a little
brief synopsis? It's hard because I look at it differently now, but MS stands for multiple sclerosis. It's a disease of the nervous system. It's basically inflammation. It causes all sorts of symptoms. What I was experiencing was like buckling of my legs. I had like tingles on my arms and legs, warm flashes all over parts of my body. I would get vertigo randomly. I would have blurry vision randomly. It sort of varied.
Right.
But I look at it now as symptoms that were popping up as a response to my emotional state, because I totally believe in the mind-body connection. And looking back now, every time there's been a symptom that has popped up, it's been related to an emotional, a big emotional thing that happened in my life.
An experience of some sort. Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting. So you've had MS now pretty much for a decade.
Yeah.
Manageable?
Totally manageable.
Yeah.
Totally manageable. But when I said that since a few months ago that I feel like I've finally come into my own and my skin and who I am.
She's painting her nails. She's buying wigs.
Exactly. Exactly. A couple new symptoms popped up. And I was like, perfect. 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 That makes sense. I was like, of course this would happen.
Energetically, there's like a mirroring happening of some sort.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm actually seeing a healer of some sort tomorrow night who does a 3-hour meditation that actually allows you to get to the cellular level. The type of meditation is called The Journey. This woman, Brandon Bays, had a massive tumor in her stomach and was able to meditate to shrink it.
Wow.
So I'm going to try that out.
That's incredible. I'm going somewhere in my mind right now, but I'm pretty sure when I was in Peru, they were talking about people coming and doing ayahuasca to cure MS symptoms.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like I 100% believe there's a spiritual element to this disease. That it's not that's why there's no cure. That's why that's why all the symptoms vary. That's why, you know, the damage to your spine and brain is it's not the same for everyone.
Right.
I 100% believe in that.
Fascinating. Yeah. I love that you're like going to learn more about it and learn more about yourself.
Yeah, and that's also where the crystal healing came in.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's how it came into my life too.
Yo, guess what? We got Love Bomb merchandise. Go to thelovebomb.us. That's thelovebomb.us to cop some special gear. We got t-shirts. We got tote bags. We got hoodies. Love Bomb. Wear it. Spread it. Be it.
Have you been in love recently?
Right. recently...
I mean, within the last 10 years, you know?
10 years?
10 years. I mean, since you out.
So I would say I've been in love for sure with two people. But they have not been in love with me.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So I've never actually experienced a mutual relationship, love, like I would like. But yeah.
Were you in relationships with these people that you were in love with?
No.
Oh, no.
I mean, I don't. Yes. They weren't
sexual. They weren't romantic by nature.
Well,
okay. Come on. Give me some dirt here. Give me some
goods. One of them was like a straight guy that I was falling for very hard. He would hook up with me and I would hook up with him. But several times, to the point where I was like, okay, he's gay and he just needs to come out. And
right.
Yeah. He was also, and I don't know if he still is, but he was super religious. So I was like, okay, that's what he's dealing with.
Yeah.
But yeah, it got to a point where he would be sleeping in the same bed as me and we'd be making out. And then he'd be like, I can't do this. I gotta go. I and then he would like turn around and with his back towards me, and I would just be like staring at his back, just so defeated. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing? And then I wrote a song about it called "I Don't Want to Love Somebody Else." And yeah, but I mean, that stuff is definitely the most inspiring. You know, it's unrequited love. It's great, but it's unfortunate.
For sure. Speaking of songwriting, that's your job. You are a musician, singer, songwriter. You're in a band called The Great Big World.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love you guys. I have for a long time, for sure. I want to talk a little bit about the process of songwriting for you and what that looks like, what that feels like. Like, in that moment when you go to go write that song after that happens, like, where are you? Bring me to the place.
Right. I would say for a situation like that, It was the feeling when you're feeling the most alone in your life with an emotion, and honestly, a lot of the songwriting is random. It's like I'm not the one doing this. I am taking, you know, whatever the source is, whatever the higher power is. Like I'm just gonna take signals from that and just move with it. Mm. I'm gonna let the music move me versus like me moving the music.
Right.
It's a lot of that, and it's a lot of trial and error, and it's a lot of like, oh, that's super cool. Okay, I can't believe I just did that. Let me do that again and do it this way. And it's not a planned thing. I mean, the lyrics come out sometimes just because you're feeling something.
Mm-hmm.
I Don't Want to Love Somebody Else is pretty direct. But that was me trying to get over this dude, and I had an extremely hard time doing it.
So in that case, lyrics came first, then music?
No, there's like
it's kind of all at the same time.
Yeah, there's like a hook to that song.
Right.
That melody just... I was like, what is that melody? It's beautiful, and let me roll with that. And then,
so this is a melody that you're hearing in your head.
Yeah, it's not even hearing on it. For me, it's not even hearing it in my head. It just kind of comes out of me as I'm playing the guitar, whatever I'm doing.
Yeah, because you're a guitar player.
I play piano, guitar. I sort of use those as instruments.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, it's such a vague answer.
No, it's okay. I mean, I think that really explains what it is. You know, it's not one solid thing. It's a process.
Yeah. There's the song "Say Something."
Yeah.
I had a verse melody for that I was playing around with. Ian, my friend, had a chorus melody that he was playing around with, and we were like, "Let's merge those two."
Yeah.
And we did.
And then let's call Christina Aguilera.
Exactly.
And just, like, hit a girl up. Like, you sing this part, we'll sing this part. Bam. Yeah. Make a hit.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, that song kind of put you guys on the map. Yeah.
Oh, that changed our lives.
That was it.
Yeah.
How old are you when this happened?
20. That was 20. I was probably 26.
26.
27.
And like, how does your life change?
I would say the financial aspect of it has changed my life.
Right.
And I would also say that it allows us to like work with artists that we never would have imagined. Like we were in the studio with Rihanna and David Guetta and Gavin DeGraw, and it's like, who are we? We're just these songwriters, we're dudes from New York that we're trying to, you know, do our thing. And
right.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
It just takes that one hit, you know, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, but then there's pressure of like, what's next?
Well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, do you feel like you have that pressure right now?
Oh, yeah. We had it with the last album. And I mean, everyone was like, yeah, the last album we sort of wrote with the intention of writing a hit.
Right.
But we never wrote "Say Something" with that intention.
Right.
It's so funny. And so with this album that we're writing currently, it's sort of like me and Ian are like, it's just me and you this time, because the last album is like me, Ian, and always a third writer in the room, and like all these pop writers, and like seeing what we could come out with. And
right.
it's not, that's not us. So yeah, this next album is going to be very much me and Ian focused.
Singer, songwriter, you and Ian focused.
Yeah, focusing on the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a song, what is it, Hold On To Each Other, Hold Each Other?
Hold Each Other, yeah.
Hold Each Other. That was kind of a big moment for you, right, in the scene, because you changed the lyrics.
Totally.
Changed the pronouns.
Totally.
Refer to him.
Yeah, so that was like the first time we were, we had a song that was, where the chorus was all about like him to her perspective, and I was like, well, how am I going to sing that?
Hmm.
And Ian was like, how are you going to sing that? And I was like, it's cool. I mean, guys just do that in pop music. It's fine.
Right.
I'll just hide again. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And then just that didn't feel good. And we were like, well, what if you just said him instead of her? And we tried it, and we changed a couple of the lyrics, and it came really naturally. And then it was like a shock, and I was like, no way. There's no way I could do this. There's no way I could sing this. You never hear a guy sing so directly. Like, Frank Ocean does it, but he doesn't sing it like, have you heard Hold Each Other? It's like, it's so direct. It's like, something happens when I hold him.
Something happens when I hold him. He keeps my heart from getting broken. Short and the nights get a little bit frozen. We hold each other.
Mm-hmm. And the hymn, you're like holding on to him. Uh-huh. Like it's like, so I was like, there's no way I could do that. And then I was like, well, there's no way I can't do that. Like, how else are you going to do it, Chad? And so I decided to run towards it instead of run away from it. And a new symptom popped up after that.
Really?
Yeah. So, and you want to know what the symptom was? Symptom was me slurring my speech. And it was only during sort of a climactic moment in the song.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. And on live TV, it happened for the first time. And like, I couldn't get the words out. And it was like so, looking back, I'm like, that's so fitting. It's perfect. I get it. I understand me and my struggle and...
But I mean, it's just teaching you these lessons.
Yeah.
Wow. Right
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want to go do some more research after we have this conversation.
Totally.
Let's talk about just the music industry a little bit and like this. I mean, because it's not just the music industry. I mean, I deal with it in Hollywood. This just this inherent homophobia that just exists. Did you have lengthy conversations with managers and record labels about that specific
that song?
Yeah.
I think gay marriage had just passed. So I think people were like super supportive,
right?
And they were all like, do it, let's put it out, let's put out a single, let's run towards it. And I don't know that I got any backlash. We got backlash from like fans and
You did?
Yeah, there were people that were like, someone was like, if you ever come to Toronto, we're gonna kill you.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we got death threats and stuff after that song.
For singing about your love for another person.
Yeah.
You get a death threat.
Yeah.
Like that is fucking insane to me.
Have you heard of the band Power Bottom?
I don't believe so.
What?
No.
What? Oh my god. They're about to blow up. And,
okay.
And but it's PWR.
Wait, that Power Bottom's about to blow up.
Yeah. They have fans, or not even, I don't know, fans. They have people that will protest their shows outside the venue and be like, just not having it. And one of the lead singers came out one night and was like, what dress should I wear tonight to the protesters? And gave them the option. They were like, what's the least offensive to you guys?
Yeah, oh my God, I love
and
that.
So I love that. And yeah. Anyway,
I mean, like, what is it in a human being that just wants to like take energy out of their life to go protest like a concert, like that?
Yeah,
it's just I just don't like.
Let me be me.
They really believe that they're doing work for God of some sort by going and doing that.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, the psychology behind all of that is really confusing to me.
We have a song called Everyone Is Gay.
Yeah. Which actually. So I open each one of these episodes with spoken word. I write poetry, and I was thinking about what I was going to write for you, and I started going through your catalog, and I came up with, or I mean, I like found the song "Everyone Is Gay," and I started reading the lyrics, and I read the entire lyrics for the opening of
this episode.
Awesome. Like, where did that song come from?
That came from our friends. Run a website called everyoneisgay.com.
Okay.
And they totally support, you know, gay youth and wanted to like do an outreach of sorts. with an album, a compilation album filled with the gayest songs ever. And they reached out to all their artist friends, including me and Ian, and they were like, "Can you write one of the gayest songs ever?" And we were like, "Well, our songs are pretty gay. Yeah, yeah, I think we could do it." And then, yeah, I don't know. It was when we were writing it, it was a song that I never heard when I was going through the shit that I was going through.
Yeah.
And which I wanted to hear, which I just wanted someone to be like, "It's fine."
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's kind of my driving force with this podcast and with just like how I'm handling myself in my career right now, too. It's like if I saw somebody playing on the spectrum a little bit growing up, or not necessarily identifying as one specific thing, or just like being free in themselves publicly, like that would have changed everything.
Yeah.
I would have like known where I fit in.
Where are you from?
Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've had gay people in your life, though, for
kind of. Not really. I mean, growing up, no, sure. I mean, like, not in my family. I mean, I was very involved in theater growing up in the city of Chicago, so, like, I knew of gay people, but I wasn't, like, friends with gay people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Where are we going with that?
Yeah, I mean, well, I was because, like, in Port Charlotte, there wasn't one gay person.
Oh, right.
I didn't see a gay person kiss until I moved to New York for school at NYU. Huh. So I was, like, 17.
Yeah.
And I saw two gay guys kiss each other, and I was like, whoa, what is that?
Right. Like, was it on the street?
Yeah, they were on the street. I was with my dad. We were visiting the NYU campus. And just seeing them kiss in public was like, that happens? That exists? People do that?
Right.
It was, you know, it was before, I don't know, social media. So I just didn't, I never was exposed to that. And it was shocking. It was amazing. It was scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is before Christina's Beautiful video came out. True or false?
This was probably 2002.
So, yeah, definitely before. Because that video was the first time I ever saw two guys kiss.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're like in that park bench in New York and they're kissing.
Yeah.
That was definitely the first time I ever saw two guys kiss. And it definitely did something to me.
I was
like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. You know?
Wait. I might be wrong. I think the first time I ever saw two guys kiss on TV was Real World New Orleans? Was it?
Chicago is when I first saw two guys hold hands on Real World. Or Chicago. Maybe New Orleans. I don't know.
Remember.
Go tell
remember.
Me the story.
No, there's no story. I just remember seeing two guys kiss, and I was like, oh, whoa, crazy. Great.
Yeah, there were two guys in Chicago, and they were like holding hands in a bed. I mean, obviously they had just like hooked up or something, but just like they like zoomed in really close on like these two masculine hands just like in an embrace, and I like my entire body was like, whoa. I was like, oh shit, here we go. I mean, are you dating right now?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking. I don't know. What is dating? I'm hanging out with a couple people.
Yeah. Are you like on dating apps at all?
I don't love dating apps. I was on a dating app once, and someone messaged me and was like, "I love your music."
Yeah.
And that was hard for me.
Right.
How do you find people?
Honestly, Instagram for me is like my favorite way of connecting with different people.
Yeah.
I don't know about my favorite, but it's like it's happened in the past. There have been a handful of people that I've met via Instagram and like Instagram relationships, just talking to each other, like people that I've looked up to. And then like I find out that they like have looked up to me, too. You know, and then we just start a conversation somehow that way.
Cool. I do feel ready.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I've never experienced someone else like
loving
me.
Yeah,
that is a big thing, and I want to experience that.
Well, what about MJ? Did MJ love you?
Yeah, but it was
different. Yeah,
it's like puppy love.
Puppy love.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other people in my life that I've had relationships with. I guess I haven't, and it's so scary. I was really scared to do this interview because of like what I would realize about myself.
Yeah.
And honestly, the fact that I haven't experienced the mutual love is heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm.
I mean, that space is there though. It's like
right.
Obviously so apparent that it will happen, and like you're
just even that you can talk about that right now,
right,
is like a big deal, you know? Like, you're there.
Right.
Like, what do you want out of a relationship? Like, let's put it into the universe right now.
Oh, that's a good question. I might want kids.
Yeah, okay.
I might want kids. I might, you know, I want someone that I can... I don't want to do this right now. I can't do this.
We don't have to.
I don't know. I want to hold hands with someone. Aww. I want to kiss someone when they're not even thinking that a kiss is needed. You know what I mean?
That's so sweet.
Oh.
I love this part of the interview so much.
I want to just lie in bed all day long with someone else. I've never done that.
It's my favorite thing in the whole world to do.
Oh.
And, like, you're going to love it. I can promise you that. And, like, it's definitely going to happen very soon. I can just feel it.
I feel it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can just see it on you.
Oh.
When is the new album coming out?
New album. That's a good question. We're working on a Broadway show at the same time.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So, well, we've been working on it for like 4 years now.
Oh, wow.
And it's sort of, we did a workshop for the first time this past December.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. We felt... I mean, we had a bunch of industry people there, and everyone was loving it, loved the music, loved the show, loved the story, whatever. And then they were like, but your biggest problem is that your primary story should be your secondary, and your secondary story should be your primary story. So now we have to go back to the writing drawing board and rewrite everything pretty much. So that'll take a few months for me and Ian. But we'll probably do another workshop in the fall. Bigger production next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where that is.
Okay.
And then in the meantime, Ian and I will be working on new music and an album. And
yeah.
I don't even know if, you know, I don't know if an album is what we're going to do. I think we just want to put out music.
Put out good songs.
It's like, why wait? Why wait 2 years to have 10
album.
Songs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. It's like everything's changing so fast.
Yeah, I was watching a stand-up comic last night. And I can't remember her name right this second, but she was explaining, like, I hate that kids these days won't understand, like, the pain of buying an entire album or, like, an entire CD just for one fucking song and hoping that the whole CD, like, matches that one song, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they just won't. They will not understand that feeling.
I wonder what it's like for kids to listen to music these days, because it's free now.
It's just so accessible.
Yeah.
Like, anything and everything that they want to hear.
Yeah.
And that transcends music. I mean, that's like life, you know?
Yeah.
Like fucking sexuality. Like anything that they want to know about is a click away.
Totally.
Like, could you imagine if that's what it was like when we were kids? I mean, and we are the last generation that will ever know what that split is like.
Right.
That's crazy. That's fucking wild. Kids, you better just be grateful for what we did for you.
Right.
That's
all yeah, you should thank us.
Exactly. I have a question.
Yes.
What do you see when you just, like, hear the love bomb? Like, what does it look like?
I think you are spreading joy. Like, you're spreading, like, it's like love is the ultimate connection. Mm-hmm. So you are immersing the world in it, and I don't know. I think it's admirable. I think it's awesome that you're doing this.
Thanks.
I don't know. I think it's a beautiful color for the world to have.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Love is the ultimate. That's what you just said.
Yeah.
Give me some more on that. What is love to you?
Love is... it is the ultimate connection, but love is really close to pain and really close to joy. Mm. And Ian, my friend, always says that they're side by side.
Yeah.
Like pain and joy. Nice. Side by side. And I feel like that's what love is. It's right there. It's right in the middle, right in between those two is the love, or even encompassing all of it is love.
Yeah, you can't have one without the other, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, last question. If you could, and I've never asked this to anybody before, but if you could like say something to the younger you that like just started getting bullied, like what would you say?
I know it's not, I'm gonna cry. I'd probably say like, you know, I know it's not fair, it's not right, but you are the only one that can be you. There's no one else that can be Chad. Chad, like you have the power to be like you beyond anyone else. No one else can be you or do what you do. So do it and do it fearlessly. And you know, your older self is supporting you.
He's right here. I love that. All right, buddy. Well, it was good to get to know you. For real.
You too. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. I love you, Chad King.
Oh. Dude, thank you so much.
This is the Love Bomb. This is the show.
I love this episode. I love Mr. Chad King. I love his band. I love his story. I love the way that he communicates. I love what he represents. I just love him. I love everything about him. If you guys want to know more about him, know more about the band, know more about his life, make sure you follow him on Instagram. It's me, Chad King. That's at ITSMECHADKING. Follow me on Instagram. That's at It's Nico. No, that's not my Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at Nico Tortorella, NicoTortorella. Check out the website, thelovebomb.us. Comment on iTunes. Comment on the forum. Comment everywhere. Call me. Text it. I don't know. It's Pride Week here in New York City. So I just looked up the definition of pride. Number one, a feeling or deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of those with whom one is closely associated, or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. Number two, a group of lions forming a social unit. Yes. We are lions. Let's form and let's socialize and let's be a unit. All of us. You hear that, community? All the LGBTQI, everybody, XYZ. We are one. Everybody. Allies included. We're all one. The only one that's not one is the fucking enemy. So resist, stand, march, and be proud. Happy Pride, New York City. Rawr. It's a lion.
We're about to explode. Yeah, it's the love bomb. We're taking you up and down. This is the love bomb. We're about to explode.